We're carrying on our theme of looking at mission. What is it? Why we should be involved in it? What is God's call, really, for each of us in our lives? And this morning, I'm going to pretty much stick to the screens that come up for two or three reasons. One, for the sake of time. But primarily, I guess, because I have to say, I'm a mission nerd. That's what people say. People have said that about me. It's not all that kind, I suppose. But when it comes from your own family, it's even harder. I still remember at 17 working in Rosyth Dockyard as an apprentice shipwright, and finding the book Run Baby Run and going home having never been in a church and reading it in my own room and inviting Jesus into my life in that room, having never met, as far as I was aware, other Christian people. And suddenly, all I can describe it as is a weight and a light came into the room. And I knew right there and then that Jesus was Lord, that anything could be forgiven, and that the kingdom of God, though I could have used that language, the kingdom of God was advancing. And from that moment onwards, I thought, this is the most wonderful, significant, powerful thing in the whole world, and the whole world has got to hear it. And so I kind of went to church two or three weeks later. And folks, this was in Abbey View in Dunfermline, if you know it, a very salubrious area of Fife. I'm just kidding in that, if you know Dunfermline. But I was in Abbey View and went to the church. Everybody was great. Sermon was okay. Worship was all right. But when I was chatting to people afterwards for coffee, and when I came in, nobody spoke about Jesus. Nobody mentioned Jesus. And I came away thinking, why are these people not passionate about Jesus? And that's led me on to this kind of quest, I guess, to find out as much as I could about this connection between God and church and mission. What does it look like, and what does it kind of mean? And starting at 17, you'll realize I've been doing this for about 10 years now. So I've got a little bit of experience. You're not really supposed to laugh at that point. Where's the encouragers in our church? So we're going to go through today, really, whose mission, what is mission, why are we called to mission? And we're going to go really quickly through it. But first, we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I want you to try and get yourself in the mind of the passage. So if you're okay with this, I want you just to close your eyes and listen to it. And if you can put yourself in that space, what was it like for Isaiah? What did he feel? What was he seeing? What was God really saying in the midst of it? It may bring a freshness to the passage. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds began to shake, and the temple filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I'm ruined. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving." Amen. Amen. It's a pretty powerful image, isn't it, of that encounter Isaiah has with the Holy God. And we're not really going to do the theology of what seraphim and stuff are at the moment. Just two really quick points from this. The first is this one that's a really, really simple one. Mission is God's. It's not the church's. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's God's. We call it the Missio Dei. God's mission is about God and God's character and God's resource and God's power. It's God who extends the kingdom. It's God who builds the church. It's all about God. It's his mission. And what a relief that is, isn't it? Because if the mission was left to you and me, it would be a shambles. Our lack of faith would stop it in every direction. Our sin would keep tripping us up. We'd be falling all over the place, and after about 3 months, we'd be so discouraged, we'd pack it in, stay in here, sing nice songs, and never do anything else. But actually, the mission is God's. God's got a big plan. And what he does is he asks you and I to join in his plan, not him getting involved in ours. So the mission is God's mission. God, when he created everything, he looked and he saw everything was good. And then sin entered the world, and suddenly disharmony and lack of peace and lack of justice reigned all over the place. And God had a missional plan. Let's restore it all. Let's bring people together again. Let's see love reign. Let people who are far off be brought near. Let's make the relationship between God and people one again as it was. Let them have access into my presence the way they once did. And make the wonderful wellness and shalom of God fill the whole earth so that even the rocks cry out in praise and adoration. And those who have been in chains for so long hear the chains snapping. And those who had never experienced love before find love come. And those who felt they had no identity be overwhelmed by the knowledge that they are the sons and daughters of the King. And together, all of creation brought back in beautiful harmony. That is the mission of God. That is a plan into which you and I are not just invited, but called into. Next slide, please. Second thing is this. How does God do this mission? Does God have a methodology into which he uses? Well, he does. And it's a really, really simple one. God is ascending God. Last week we heard that God was a seeking God, and God goes and seeks the last and the least and the lost, and he brings them in. That's why you're here. God has sought you in his grace and mercy. As the Puritans used to say, the very hounds of heaven chased you down and found you and brought you back into his presence. That's what God does. He's a seeking God, but also God is the sending God. God is always sending. It's the way in which his mission goes from person to person, place to place, and circumstance to circumstance. I just put a few of these up. If we can get the next slide. There you go. Joseph was sent, unwittingly at first, to save lives in a famine, Genesis 47. Moses was sent to deliver people from oppression, Exodus 3. Elijah was sent to influence the course of international politics, 1 Kings. Jeremiah was sent to proclaim the word. Jesus was sent to preach good news, proclaim freedom, and give sight to the blind and release the oppressed. The disciples were sent to preach and to demonstrate the power of the reign of God. Next slide, please. Paul and Barnabas were sent out with famine relief, and then as church planters. Titus was sent out to be a transparent financial advisor and then administrator. God is always sending. And even in the New Testament, the Spirit sends Jesus into the wilderness. The Spirit sends Peter to Cornelius. The Spirit sends Philip to the Ethiopian. And over again in Acts, when the church doesn't want to leave Jerusalem, the Spirit pushes them out. God is always sending. He is never, ever static. And so, how is God sending now? Next slide, please. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we have this verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this is the plan. When the Holy Spirit comes upon all God's people, suddenly the sending just of individuals is ended and the universal sending of all God's people has happened because we've all received the Holy Spirit, and as part of that, we're all sent out. We use the term sometimes missional discipleship. And it's a good term because it talks about how our discipleship is connected to mission and to outreach. But actually, the term missional discipleship wouldn't have made any sense to the New Testament and early church. Every disciple is missional. You can't get a non-missional disciple. Every disciple is sent somewhere and to somebody. We're all in this together. And we can be really, really good missional people, or we could be really, really rubbish ones. We could be a great witness and signpost to Jesus, or we could be the sort of person who pretty much puts everybody going in the other direction from Jesus when they meet us. So let's just have that personality type, don't they? But we are all in it together. And what an amazing thing that is for us to see. There was a Christian conference that happens quite regularly. It's called Lausanne Conference. It's a conference about mission. And at Lausanne, they came up with this phrase to try and put together the whole, really, of the theology of mission in a couple of lines. And this is it. And you think, I know you're thinking, well, if they can do it in a couple of lines, how are you going to take 25 minutes about it? Surely you can do it faster. The whole church, not those who feel specially gifted, not those who have been academically trained, not those who are ordained from the front, thank goodness, not everything else like that, but the whole church, everybody who has encountered Jesus, who has the Holy Spirit, the whole church, that's you. That's you. Now, maybe you're kind of looking over your shoulder thinking, must be somebody else. It's not somebody else. It's you, the whole church, with the whole good news, the good news of peace, restoration, salvation, hope, mercy, all together, the whole gospel to the whole world, to the whole world. So praise God for those who are called into other people groups and other places in the world, who are the missionaries to these places. That's what God has called them to do in their lives. And it may be that you're only called to be sent to your next door neighbors, or your street, or those that you meet day to day to day. But all the time, God is sending us. So let me ask you this. If you're retired, put your hand up. Put your hand up. There's a few in here. It's all right, I'm not doing an age test. We don't put your hand down again. God has sent you with time now to be a witness over coffee, over walks, engaging in different groups, being free to do things that you've maybe never been able to do. Hands up if you work in education. Just taking examples. Yeah. Quite a few in education. Put your hands down. Great. God has sent you to be a light and a witness to a generation growing up, that they may know and understand something of grace and what mercy is, and what forgiveness is, and what hope is. God has sent you to that. If you work just Monday to Friday, every day, in an office or anything, in a train, in a bus, if you're just kind of going to work, put your hands up. Yeah. Quite a lot of us, put your hands down. Could it be that God has sent you there? And you may be the only Christian in the office, or the only Christian in the staff room, and it's really, really tough. But somehow God has placed you there to be a light and to be salt into the society in which you've been placed, because you're not there in a random way. You are sent. We're all sent. And God opens and closes doors and sends us and looks for people who step through in faith and seek to do what God has called them to do. Those who are entrepreneurial, run their own businesses, do things, put your hand up. Yeah, there's a few people in our church who do that. It's great. Put your hands down. God has gifted you and sent you both to employ others, but to connect across a whole range of different ways, giving people opportunities to grow and develop. Are you beginning to get what mission is? Every one of us in this room is a missionary. Minute by minute, you start your missionary work in Judea and Jerusalem before you go to the outer ends of the world. So what sort of missionary people are we? Next slide, please. It may seem like an absolute mission impossible. This. Tom Cruise. We may think, looking at what we've got, even in our families, and think, how could God possibly send me to this? How do I make any difference? How is this possible? Or you may be in the workplace and you think, I actually hate this workplace. With a passion, I hate it. How could God have sent me to this? But he has, and you're there. And until he sends you on to somewhere else, you're called to be a witness, to do mission, to love overwhelmingly, so that when people are talking about you in an office, they think, well, I'll tell you what, I don't believe anything that that boy says about his church or stuff, but he is the most honest, most loving, most compassionate person in our business and organization. That's the witness. That's the mercy and the glory. Is it possible for this church, when we're scattered, to suddenly regard ourselves as sent everywhere? See ourselves as missionaries? Another one just came into my mind. If you're a foster carer in social care, caring for those who are really struggling in society, God has sent you to bless people who need to know what love is. And you're sent as missionaries. And here's the thing. There is no greater missionaries or lesser missionaries. There's just all of us doing what God's called us to do. using the gifts we've got, seeking to serve him, and accepting we're sent, wherever we're sent, for a purpose. We're in this family, we're in this street, we're in this workplace, we're doing what we're doing, but all the time, God is moving the chess pieces, and God runs the game, and God always wins. Isn't that a great way to view our lives? Despite the challenges and the pain, is a fact, God has invited me into his big story. And I've got a place in it that is designed and written specifically for me. That's your life and my life. So, next slide, please. The Holy Spirit enables all of us. Whether you've been a Christian for 10 minutes, maybe in the worship, or whether you've been a Christian for as long as you can remember, the Holy Spirit enables all of us to live, love, and serve as Jesus did and is still doing. I hope this is breaking the idea that some of us have that, you know, missionaries are these people over there that are super spiritual, and the rest of us are just like, nah, whatever, leftovers. We're all in this together. All of us, gifted, called, sent. All of us struggle. All of us weep. All of us get it wrong. All of us are sent together. Look at the disciples. Next slide, please. So, on August the 9th to the 15th, we all, as sent people here together, are going to be sent out in 1 week into Perth to see what God might do to transform our city. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on. See, if I'd added Kaylee at the end of that, I'd have got a cheer or something like that. What can be more exciting if working with brothers and sisters, going out into the streets, doing some stuff, seeing the Holy Spirit turn up, seeing transformation happen, see lives changed, see salvation come, see prayer rise. I mean, come on, folks. Why are you even here if that doesn't excite you? This is the great call of our lives, is to see streets won and transformed. That's what we're about. So, as I'm now programmed to say, don't book a holiday for that week. You have to be here. Last slide, please. So what sort of things are we going to be doing? Together, we're going to come and plan some events, both in the church and outside of it, out in the open air and the streets, around social transformation. How can we make Perth a better place for people to live in? We're going to do some stuff around creative arts. So painters, musicians, artists, writers, let's come together and do things that point to Jesus and point to the love of God. And let's be really, really creative, both in the building, other buildings, outside, whatever. Hospitality. Go do all sorts of things where we're inviting people to come as strangers and meet with the grace of God in hospitable spaces and places. Kids and youth. You can't even run a mission without kids and youth stuff. And so we'll be doing a whole bunch of stuff for all ages, getting people together. And then to do all that, we'll need admin, coordination, communication, and social media skills, all working together. And pretty much from 3, 4, 5 months beforehand, you will see an uprising in the prayer life of us as Trinity. More prayer times, more prayer resources, more prayer that you can do at home. And as we build to seek God to bless our city, we draw a line in the sand, and we're saying, Satan, your days are numbered in birth. Because hope is rising. And Christ is at work. And we really, really believe that there is no one so far off that they cannot be reached. No one so broken they cannot be healed. No one so damaged and scarred that they cannot be beautified and made new in God. And that's why we're all coming together, 300 or so, whatever it is, sent people coming before God, saying together, for 1 week, let's do together what we do individually every day of our lives. Are you up for it? Will you stand with me? Just ask the band to come back up if that's okay. I'm really, really conscious as I was speaking and just saying these things, that there are people in here and work is really, really tough for you at the moment. It's a real struggle. And when it comes to Sunday nights, you're already worrying about Mondays and what it's going to be like in the workplace. And I just had a real sense as I was talking and encouraging folk that actually you're sitting there thinking, if I can just make it through the week, that's a win. And so with every head bowed, we can just bow our heads. If that is you, if you're just struggling with work, whatever kind of work you're doing, whether work is hard to come by, whether you're not sure whether you're going to get paid, whether you've got problems with other people in your workplace, whether you just don't like what you're doing and work is tough, could you really just quickly put up your hand, see that what I felt was right? Yeah, thank you. There's a few people. Thank you. Put your hands down. So let me pray for you. God, you have sent us into places, and sometimes these places are tough places. And we feel overcome, overwhelmed, depressed, broken. Work is having an adverse effect upon us in a whole bunch of other areas of our lives. We're anxious at home, frustrated and angry. And it's just tough, God. It is tough. Lord, thank you that even in the darkest places, you are with us. You are with us. And I pray that those who are struggling in the workplace would find your presence closer to them than ever before. That there be signs of your healing and your grace and your mercy, Lord. That the darkness would be lifted up in Jesus' name. And that hope would rise, that relationships would be restored, that positive people would be placed round about you. And that this valley that you're going through would come to an end. God of grace and mercy, will you pour out your presence? And for those of us who are even now carrying the scars of work, where people have been nasty, where people have said things, or where we've just not met targets and people have been pointing the finger when we felt belittled, or we've been told in reports that we're not up to it or we're useless. And these words have clung to us and clung to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you might remove them and replace them with words that say, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I hold you in the very palm of my hand. And you're mine. Holy Spirit, in your grace might you pour out the oil of gladness, that no matter what or where, we are yours. Amen. And you are with us. Come in your healing mercies, O God. Come in your healing mercy. Remove our burdens as we lay them at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I just say to those people that really are struggling with work and carrying these kind of scars, we have a fantastic prayer team. They would love to pray with you. You just need to go over under the cross there and somebody will pray with you.